My son would give it all to be able to stay in the state of Candy Crush Sugary Sweetness version of whatever soda saga. What level? What level are you on? Can you all relate? I can't relate to this. Do you know?
I can.
Okay. He changes his settings to residing in Canada to get access to the new releases not available in the U.S. yet. He invests heart and mind and creativity to be present in Candyland. Verse 23, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. Why would we be offended by Jesus? He's God. He's our hero. He gives us a free pass of mercy and the free pass of grace. What's not to like? I can say I love Jesus. I'll put a Bible verse on my shirt. I'm in. Who wouldn't enjoy the travails of Gumdrop Mountain? Who wouldn't play this game of life with this kind of cotton candy in the clouds Christianity? We get it all. We live like we like. We're the cream of the crop. So sweet, yet it's so empty, full of adrenaline and empty calories and no health benefit. All sugar coating. What a rush. Your and my faith guts don't have to work and grind out growth. Just live and see you on the other side. What would it be like to gut out our faith like a John? Can we relate to the daily thoughts and actions of John the Baptist? What would flesh and personality on his skin and bone diets look like as he lived up to the true and only call to forsake the world, traditional life, life of ease in that time? How does he temper the doubts within? How does he clarify truth amongst the many voices, experts of church, elected officials, his own family and followers? Is there a tug for the good old days? Yes, there's inner questionings and turmoil in every soul. I wonder what green, wet behind the ears lessons our picture-perfect image of John, the real living, sinning man, got to teach himself, or get taught through the kindness or the ruthlessness of those in his circles. John and his parents called to prepare the way. Yet to a faithful follower, Zechariah, who strays a little bit, God says to his doubt, just be quiet then. Zechariah's overstep redirected. Heart, mind, living of this family is solely purposed on pointing the way to Jesus, forsaking the world, living apart from the temptations, misdirections, sideshows that would compromise their commitment, striving to create purified hearts and lives as one true church. Repent. John the Baptist was all in, fasting and meditating, living the simple life, desiring God and man to see nothing but obedience in him, not wanting to take away from the focus of Christian repentant living or give any man or woman or child a reason to fall away from the true way. And by the way, in verse 18, he asks, are you even the one, Jesus? John's giving everything to God as he figures out who God even is and what he even calls us to be and do. Verse 28, no man born of a woman is better than John. In the gospel, he is amazing. Verse 28 continues, and yet the least in the kingdom, clearly greater than him. Than this poster child for raw, gutted out faith who abstains and refrains and follows each letter of the law. What amount of silence, gut-wrenching thought, pain-filled time was necessary to glean through the wisdom of his expert ancestors and of the obviously right way of life truths of his age to filter out, to root out the one truth. How much churning of mind and guts were put into study of what obedience was and how we would live that in and out and into reality of being deeply convicted to talk about preparing the way, yet in unison, showing in every thought, which only two can see, and word and action for the larger viewing audience, how you live an unpolluted commitment to the life you're called to offer up. As a pleasant incense, a fragrant offering to the Lord of all. Not the hollow, empty ones offered in verse 31 through 33, and at times in you and me. And all the while, the voices claim and aim to discredit. Verse 22, John's possessed. He's of the devil. And we think, God, why can't they just be silenced? So now Jesus comes, sharing life abundant. We point at Jesus and say, verse 43, no way is he the way. There are clearly rules, boundaries that are being exceeded in this God-man's heart in one direction. Too extreme. Too much joy, too much abundance, too much wine, and it's good wine. Verse 34, he's a glutton and a drunk. His heart cannot be of one fidelity. He doesn't feel guilty enough. So I will kindly help him on his way and point out his sin and points of mixed messages to my truth, lying in wait to trap Jesus in his words, to pressure him to compromise his extreme commitment to truth, love, and life that he's proposing. He's a fool and a fraud. Chapter 8, verse 4, fertile soil. In the heart of each, soil is created by breaking down rock. Rock-hard hearts through our generations. So the soil of the soul is available to God through the tilling up of our heart and our mind. And don't worry, there's a lifetime supply of fertilizer that can keep each soil nourished. The soil allows itself to be tilled, refuses to allow itself to be molded, hardened, covered in thorns or beauty, tricked from without or within. No matter what experts or prior generations or close friends or downright enemies try to create within our soil hearts, we will not allow us to fool ourselves. We will allow truth into our hearts, learning how to nurture love and allow whatever spirit fruit sprouts to take deep root and flourish. Learning to use the frustrations as fertilizer to nurture faith soil and develop fruit. We're not going to play the fool anymore. We're not going to give ourselves the easy out, blaming, quitting, revenging because of the hurts and hardening of our soil by the generations prior, or the beauty of them, or the hurt from those who are able to touch or tear up our heart soil in the present. We're done playing religion. Cheap talk, cheap grace. No more will we entitle ourselves to the power play of the victim, or abuse equally destructive power pockets of bully. We will live up and measure up to his deep commitment. Let's match the vulnerability and the intensity and the purpose of one sacrificial Christ alone. Just how bold and blatantly disrespectful are we? In verse 26, the demons instantly recognize the true God and cower in fear and beg for mercy. Let's follow suit and be awed and awfully scared. What really merits our fear, the living God alone, and awfully ready to turn from our mixed agendas and step into full commitment joys. Force through the fear of mixed heart and faithfulness. Face him fully to find peace daily, now in all his power and truth and patience, versus cowering away with our little games. Let us beg for his mercy to turn from our shameful and too comfortable cocktail mix of truth and infidelities. Are we sure we want to toy with the Almighty? The demons know better. And so what do we as the people of God do in active worship? John, faithfully live truth and love Jesus. Faithfully live truth and love. Uninvited guest woman worships at his feet, weeps and anoints with her best perfume and realest tears. Faithfully living in truth and love, not focused on the mistakes she's chosen, or the condemnation within, or the condemning thoughts, words, and actions firing and flooding in from any and all hearts toward her. Let's follow suit, marching along with Jairus and garment-grabbing girl, and now you and me. And so now let's also practice this. Do you and I have enough love and latitude in us to turn aside from the ways of this world and from our quickly claimed Christian championship titles and our established knowledge of life and living and plans like Jesus does in verse 37 and 8:26 and 31 and 43 and consistently in each story, to even make ourselves available to notice the fringe moments and people God is offering us to be in communion with? Even as we, like those in verse 36 and 8:19, overconfidently set the table and we welcome Jesus into our world with words and warmth when we set the perimeters for fellowship together with the God of all creation. Naked we came into the world. Can we become that vulnerable and humble again? the dash of mustard seed belief to face him in our game playing and self-centered core? Can we readily and sincerely ask him what he wants of us as he steps into our world and we dare to be in his presence? Do we have a speck of faith in the verse 44 to reach out and touch and cling onto a fragment of his garment of truth? And again, even while others, and there will always be the others, why can't they just be silenced like Zechariah? Because he's the judge. It's his courtroom. He's ruled admissible. You, me, and them. So even while others, verse 40, crowd around and join in the excitement and attention of Christ, even in 52, they cry out together with us in our pain. We can force through verse 19 and 53, getting laughed at and mocked, the onslaught of commentary and noise, and verse 49, know-it-alls. We'll muster up enough guts to have faith when what is being asked of us is unbelievable. No one would ask so much of us. Certainly he cannot be serious. For someone to ask this much would be offensive. How could we ever be offended by a sweet Jesus? And so he's asked, and he's provided all the tools to listen and see and believe and be and do and cultivate our soul soil in the earthly circles of influence we have. And it starts by going deep into the depths of our own heart. Let's get over the sugar rush highs and candy crushes. Like good Lutherans, better yet like Jesus. Everything in moderation, except faithfulness. And so, Lord, let us freely live into being responsive and responsible as the least in this kingdom, where we comfortably engage in humble relationship with the Christ and all that is his, honored to be offended that he offers us true bread of life crumbs. What wondrous love is this, O my soul, that he wants nothing less than all of us now and in each moment to come of his daily salvation for us and all believers.